Capital Insider, sponsored by United for Oklahoma, tribal nations building unity and economic strength to benefit all Oklahomans. More at unitedforoklahoma.com. Oklahoma thrives together.
This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. And our guest is Dr. Christine Pappas, Chair and Professor of Political Science and Legal Studies in the Department of Politics, Law, and Society at East Central University. Dr. Pappas, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Pappas, you are a resident of Senate District 13, where Senate Pro Tem designate Greg McCourtney lost the Republican primary election to challenger Jonathan Wingard. You had a front row seat to that race. As a constituent and a political scientist, what happened?
Well, it's interesting to say front row seat. I'd say it was a pretty quiet campaign. Sometimes these House and Senate races can be. And the fact that Senator McCourtney had just been elected Senate pro tem really underscored the importance of this race. In Ada and Pawtucket County, where I am, there were definitely lots and lots of Wingard signs. There were Wingard mailers that went out to almost every house in the whole county. And I can't really speak to the other counties. As a member of Ada Sunrise Rotary, we also had a debate of the candidates. And we had Greg McCourtney and Jonathan Wingard come. And about 35 people came and listened to the two candidates. And it just kind of seemed like a regular old campaign where you expect the incumbent to win with 65%, 70% of the vote. And it was just quite shocking to see the outcome, which had Wingard narrowly beating McCourtney. In fact, McCourtney won no counties. There was a tie in McLean County, but McCourtney didn't even win Pawtucket. And I think anyone who was watching this race would have expected it. He could easily win Pawtucket County.
The legislature met after Memorial Day, which it normally doesn't do in election years. Do you think that had an impact on McCourtney's loss? Perhaps he wasn't in the district enough?
Well, you know, I think back to, you know, he ran for the first time in 16 and, you know, that was he was a challenger at that point. So there's a little bit more campaigning, but I think back to 20 and there had been very little campaigning, very little retail politics, the door to door kind of stuff. And so it didn't seem that unusual that he maybe had been spending a lot of time doing leadership activities in Oklahoma City and not in the district. I think he assumed that he had a great reputation and that was going to carry him through. I did hear people talking about Wingard enthusiastically, and I didn't really hear anybody talking about McCourtney, but it just seemed so inconceivable that he would lose. So that didn't seem that unusual to me.
Looking at the implications of the race on a bigger scale, do you think that race tells us anything about the direction this election year may be going for races around the state?
I think it could. I think what we're seeing is the competition between more moderate Republicans and more stit related or further right Republicans. And I think that's what this race came down to, where McCourtney, like he did take positions that were more moderate. And that doesn't mean that they, like overall they were moderate positions, but in comparison to some of the challengers like Jonathan Wingard, they did turn out to be a little bit more moderate. So if McCourtney had won, I think he would have been more of a Greg Treat type Senate pro tem, more of a stumbling block for the governor and the governor's agenda. And I think when we see moderate candidates like McCourtney lose, it's going to open the door to more people that'll enable the governor to pursue his agenda. So I do think that there was a lot of dark money that came into the districts. I've heard that there was up to $3 million that have been spent to support Wingard. So if we're going to see that kind of money and that kind of influence in the election, then it is possible that candidates who aren't spending a lot may end up on the losing end.
In Oklahoma, a lot of incumbents win re-election without opposition because nobody files to run against them. More than half the legislative seats are already settled. What does that tell you about the political environment in the state?
Well, I've long looked at those seats that run unopposed, and I can't believe that there's no one who could even just put their name out there to get on the line of the ballot. So I think every single seat needs to be contested. I'd like to see multiple candidates in each party, you know, so that we have very competitive elections. But historically, Oklahoma has just not been a state that supports competitive elections. We have very low voter turnout, and that just leads to few candidates, little interest in the politics. People don't feel like they should have a say, or they do have a say in politics. And that just leads to a lot of these open seats. In this particular race, there's no Democrat that signed up to run. So now Wingard has now become the elected senator from District 13.
Dr. Christine Pappas, thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome.
For more information, go to quorumcall.online. You can find audio and transcripts at kgou.org and look for Capital Insider where you get podcasts. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
Capital Insider, sponsored by the Oklahoma State Medical Association. Physician members who are committed to better health for all Oklahomans. Learn more at okmed.org.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.